It's an interesting little aside with Psalm 145. The men talked about it at our Bible study breakfast this past week. The Hebrew letter Nun is missing. But there's an old manuscript that includes an extra verse right after verse 13. So if you see in some of your Bibles, you'll see it in brackets, and it means that there's some people that added that extra verse, and the Qumran community had it in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So we don't know if somebody intentionally left out one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, because there's 22 of them, or if it was in the original one, and then it got omitted. But I like to think of it this way. From A to Z, God wants us to praise Him, no matter what burdens may come our way. And maybe there's a letter missing, because without our praise, the praise of God isn't complete. God needs you and all the letters from A to Z to glorify His Son Jesus. And as you heard little Nora say, I've got Jesus in my heart. Well, that's exactly where God wants Jesus to be in your life, in your heart as well. There's a story told about a little girl that got lost. And they sent out a search crew, and a farmer thought that maybe she was lost out in his acreage, so he was looking around his fields and in the pastures, and finally, in the meadow, he heard the sound, A, B, C. He thought, maybe that's the little girl, and sure enough, in the meadow, there was this little girl. And he came up to her, and he took the little girl up into his arms, and he said, it's okay, I'm going to take you home. You don't have to cry, you don't have to be worried. And the little girl just hugged this guy, this farmer, and as she hugged the farmer, she got this big smile and she said, you know, I knew you were coming. And the farmer said, how could you know that I was coming? She said, well, because while I was waiting for you to come and take me home, I was praying. What do you mean you were waiting and praying, the farmer said. When I came up here, you were saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. She said, well, yes, I'm just a little girl. And so I thought if I just said the letters and prayed them, well, God's a lot better at putting the letters together than I am. He knows I'm lost, and He knew how to get me found. God is a lot better at putting the letters together. The foundational building blocks, yes, of our praise, we need an alphabet, whether it's the Hebrew alphabet of 22 letters or the Greek alphabet, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, you know that, right? Alpha, beta, alphabet. Of the Greeks, 24 letters, or English, 26 letters. We take those letters, they get formed together, and they form important words like J-E-S-U-S. And God puts Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Did you know that you are yoked to Jesus? That you are the yoke of Christ? You have been yoked with Him and with His cross, with His dying and with His rising. In the washing of regeneration in Romans 6, Paul says, you have been buried with Christ in His death and raised with Christ in His resurrection. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But in between that, we get chapter 7. And in chapter 7, Paul says, wretched man that I am, burdened by sin, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our reading from Paul's letter to the church at Rome tonight, one of the things that we discover is that Paul is betwixt and between. He said, I can will the good, but I can't do it. It's like saying, well, at least I haven't coveted. And then all of a sudden we start becoming proud of our not coveting. And we go, well, now I don't feel very good about feeling proud of my not coveting. But I feel good that I feel bad about feeling good about not coveting. You see what happens? It's like a bottomless pit and there's no escape. That's what Paul is talking about in Romans 7. Romans 7, that we are by nature slaves to sin. And if we are yoked to sin, then we are by nature yoke to a burden that will lead to death and destruction for all of us. We are born yoked to sin. We say it in our confession each week. I have not loved you, God, with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what I've done, by what I've left undone. Wretched person that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. From this burden of sin, God sets us free so that we no longer need to be slaves of sin, but in Christ we can be slaves of Him, Jesus Christ, and His righteousness. I was talking to Pastor Tim Duesenberg this past week, and many of you know Pastor Tim over in Holman, Wisconsin. And he was talking about the 2 weeks of vacation he'd had and was thanking me for covering over there while he was gone. And then we got to talking about our gospel reading for tonight. And as we started talking, he said, you know, that reminds me. Years ago when I was just starting out in ministry, I had a small parish, he said, in Wisconsin. And in this small congregation, he said, it was a farming community. And then I learned the news that Gertie, one of the members of my church, had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So Tim said, I was driving out to her farmstead, and I'm coming down the long driveway, and as I'm coming up to the farmhouse, there's Gertie, and she's out there hanging up the laundry. And Pastor Tim said, so I got out of the car, and I was walking with my shoulders down and my head down and feeling the weight of the world and feeling so bad for Gertie and the diagnosis of cancer. And he said, I got up to the clothesline where she was hanging the laundry, and she beat me to the punch. She said to me, so Pastor Tim, how are you doing? And Tim said, I looked at her and I said, I'm okay. And then he said, I looked at her and I said, so how are you doing? I'm so sorry about the diagnosis of cancer. And Gertie said, Pastor Tim, whose yoke are you wearing? And Pastor Tim told me this past week, he said, she was my pastor in that moment. She was wearing the stole, the yoke of Christ. She was reminding me that we all wear a yoke. Someone is going to be our master. We'll be slaves to sin, which leads to death, or slaves of righteousness, Jesus Christ, which leads to resurrection and eternal life. So here was Gertie, terminal cancer, reminding her pastor, what's with the slouching shoulders? What's with the gloom and doom? What's with the head downcast? Why are you so cast down, my friend, huh? Whose yoke are you wearing? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11, talks first about John the Baptist and how he was an ascetic, and people said he had a demon because he didn't eat lots of food and he didn't drink any strong wine. And then he said that he came, the Son of Man, and that people were complaining because he ate with tax collectors and sinners. They called him a drunkard and a glutton. He said it's like children that are in the marketplace, and they're playing, and they call out, let's play wedding, but nobody wants to dance. And then they say, well, let's play funeral, and nobody wants to weep or mourn. Nobody is satisfied. And then Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, woe to you, Capernaum. That's the area, the central part of his ministry, his public ministry. That's where all the teachings were done and the healings were done, and these people weren't repenting. It's going to be more tolerable, Jesus says, on the day of judgment for places like Tyre and Sidon, where the pagans live, or places like Sodom and Gomorrah, because if what is being done right now, Jesus says, had been done there in Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah, the people would have repented. And then after he talks about this rejection of his word and of his preaching, the first thing he says is, I thank you, Father, Even in the midst of the burden that Jesus is bearing, he is thanking the Father. Because evidently the wise don't get the kingdom revealed to them. It's the simple ones, the little children, who might already know at 3 and a half, I've got Jesus in my heart. And that's the most important yoke we can ever wear. Jesus says to, come here. Jesus says to his disciples and to those who are listening, he says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I have rest for your souls. And then he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has removed the yoke of our sin and now has placed the yoke of his righteousness upon us. Do you ever feel burdened? Do you ever feel like it's just one more thing or the day is just not going right? My son-in-law Matt and I were talking about this kind of stuff. It's like a trail of things, isn't it, Matt? You know, you go in through the drive-up, through McDonald's, just to get a couple of quick things. Next thing you know, they get the wrong order. We should have just taken it. I mean, it was malts and shakes and everything. And instead, we said, no, that's not our order. They said, well, just pull onto the side. 5 minutes later, they come out and we go, well, where's the water? They go back in, and 5 minutes later, they come out with the water. Or you get a safe deposit box at Wells Fargo, and they double charge you for it. And then you got to get on the phone and call about that. Or you want to get a bike trailer thing that goes behind your bike, you know, that the kids can sit in, and you go and you start to assemble it, and it's defective. So you go back to Walmart to exchange and get another one, and you're waiting in line and everything, and an hour later, you don't have a bike trailer. It's kind of like, why is all of this stuff happening? I mean, little circumstances, they don't beat us up too bad, right? But it's when things accumulate. It's when the burdens get stacked that they get heavy, and then we try to carry them all by ourselves? To what avail? Those burdens are going to kill us. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, I know what those burdens are like. I took all of those burdens with me to the cross, and he says, come to me. Come to me. I know you're heavy laden. I know you're burdened. And those burdens are stacking up, and you're trying to carry that weight by yourself, whatever that weight may be in your life. And Jesus says, just give it to me. Just give it to me. Burdens. Oh my goodness, this past week I sent out my monthly kind of newsletter update about Emmanuel and what's been happening in our lives and stuff. And whenever I do that, then 30, 40 people, I start getting emails back from people because I ask them to share their burdens with me. I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. Or bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this past week, I find out from Diane Cronbeck. Diane's up in Little Falls, Minnesota. Her sister just died of cancer. Wanted to come to the wedding and couldn't make it because of her health. Lived long enough to be able to see the pictures from the wedding. And the day of the wedding, outdoor wedding, June 14th when I was up there, you know, it rained that whole weekend. But then God parted the clouds just long enough for us to have the outdoor wedding. And at the end of the ceremony, this sister-in-law up in Anchorage, Alaska, was listening to it on this smartphone, you know. And then Diane, the mother of the bride, she comes up and she says, this is my sister-in-law. She's the one that's battling cancer. Will you pray with her? Right there, huh? In the midst of the burden. And then Diane says, she said, I've got some bad news. She said, you know one of the groomsmen, Michael DeWald? Well, Michael was a cousin of the groom. And just this past week, driving too fast, missed the curve. The car rolled. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And he was killed. A bride and a groom celebrating the gift of marriage, and now one of the groomsmen, one of his cousins, a really dear friend of the groom, has died much too early. And then Diane says to us, Oh, by the way, our pastor, that's the church I was at for 17 years, has been removed because of sexual infidelity. You see what I'm saying? We got these burdens. This was just one email. Then I got an email from a friend of mine out in Tacoma, and he was updating me. A year ago, he had a stroke. It's affected his vision, and so he has no peripheral vision, so he can't drive. His wife has to drive him. He said, you know, this has been even worse than the bladder cancer I had in 1987. And then he said, it's been humbling for me to have to rely upon other people to take me everywhere I go. He said, but in the midst of it, I'm learning to rely upon my good shepherd Jesus more and the promises of his word. So he's filling me in, and then he's apologizing for telling me all about the stuff that's happening with his rehab and with his eyes ever since the stroke. And he said, and I should let you know, my oldest daughter, she got married for the first time a year ago, last summer, left her nursing job in Tacoma, married this guy, went to Bend, Oregon, and he says in the email, she's returning home after a one-year failed marriage. Burdens. Burdens that just get stacked and stacked. Email after email of people with all the weights that they're carrying. Now, maybe this isn't your story. I mean, maybe you don't have any burdens and weights that you're carrying, but I'm finding that even as I carry the burdens of those that I love, the weight can get heavy. I saw on the internet, you probably saw this story too, a man named John, he's been, for the last 2 decades, he's been refereeing soccer in the Detroit, Michigan area. Wednesday, he was refereeing adults playing soccer. They had to be over 30 years old. These are adults. And then, I don't know a lot about soccer, but if you're refereeing and you give a yellow card, it's a warning, a caution thing. And then if you do it a second time, that's the same thing they said as a red card. That means you get immediately ejected. Well, John had given this one player, Saad, who is an auto mechanic and who's been playing in the Detroit area soccer for the last 16 years. Saad is 36 years old, I think it is. And he gives him the yellow card, and then he gives him the second one, and he's about to pull out the red card and say, you're ejected now. And Saad comes and, bam, punches him right in the head, knocks him unconscious. And John is laying there. They call 911, and by the time they get him to the hospital, he's gone. And the picture they have of John, this is what touches or burdens my heart. The picture of John is him and his wife and his 2 sons, one age 9, one age 13. And if you saw this on the internet, you know what I'm talking about, right, Rachel? They're in front of the altar at their church. And the oldest boy, the 13-year-old, is dressed in a white robe with a red carnation and a cross. You know what that was? That was a recent confirmation. And the Saad is in jail, and he says, I just want to go home so that I can see my 2 kids and the 2 stepchildren that I support. Well, John doesn't get to hug his 2 boys or see his wife again in this life, huh? A man of faith who was just simply refereeing a game, and somebody ends his life with a punch? The wages of sin is death. I mean, this is the burden we're carrying, and some people think we don't need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But John, on Thursday, his heart, his lungs, liver, kidneys, and intestines were given to 5 people who needed the gift of organ saving. In everything, God promises to work for good. And in the midst of all the burdens that we try to lift and carry all by ourselves in this world, Jesus, day after day, from A to Z, because he is Alpha and Omega, says to you and says to me, come. Come to me. You're burdened. You're loaded down with a heavy weight. And I'm gentle and humble in heart. And I have rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, we need to understand one quick thing about easy and light. The word easy is a technical term for those who handcraft and hand-tailor, hand-carve yoke. You know, that go on oxen, a team. And in Jesus' day, and he was a carpenter, the son of a carpenter, maybe was a maker of wooden yokes. Those team of oxen would be brought to the one who crafted the yoke. They would be measured, they would be sized, there would be careful deliberation, and then the yoke would be carved, and a week later, that team of oxen would be brought back again. And if there was any rough edges, they were sanded off. What the word easy means is not difficult, not challenging, not hard or complicated. The word easy in the Greek means well-fitted. The yoke that Jesus has for you is a yoke that fits you perfectly. And the yoke, the stole, is an instrument of work so that we can carry the load that God has given to us. My yoke is easy. It fits just right. It won't rub you wrong. It won't destroy you. And my burden is light. And that's not L-I-T-E, you know, gospel light. This is Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who says, let me carry you and all of your burdens. A former missionary evangelist by the name of Henry Morehouse was going through a time of heavy burdens in his ministry and discouragement. He came home and there was a package that had been delivered for his wife. So he came into the house and there was his daughter, little Minnie. Minnie was paralyzed, so she was in her chair. He came into the house and Henry Morehouse said, my daughter had a smile on her face. And I said to her, where's your mother? And Minnie said to her father, she's upstairs. And so Henry Morehouse said, well, I'm going to go up and take the package to her. And it was little Minnie who said, Papa, let me take the package to Mama. And Henry said, I looked at my daughter and I said, you can't even carry yourself upstairs. How do you think you're going to carry this package to your Mama? And with a big smile, my daughter looked at me and she said, Papa, of course I can't carry myself up there, but I can carry the package and you can carry me. And it was then that Henry Morehouse said, I realized that's exactly the yoke of Christ. Jesus is right beside us, yoked with us in tandem. And he carries us so that we can carry every single burden that comes our way. Remember these words? Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We go to the Word of God and we hear the promises of Christ. You hear it again tonight. Come to me, Jesus said. I know your burdens, and I promise to carry you and all that you are carrying. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.